Hey there, this is Seth Juarez with Channel 9 here at GDC 2015, here with Jason Strayer.
Hi.
How's it going, bud?
Great, how are you doing?
What do you do at Microsoft?
I am a program manager lead for graphics tools at Microsoft.
Okay.
I also wear another hat of Xbox graphics.
I see.
But I'm responsible for the graphics tools that we provide on Xbox, as well as all of the Windows platforms, all of the Windows devices that we're talking about here at the show.
Interesting. So what are those devices that we're talking about at the show? What do they have to do with games?
Oh, of course. I come from an Xbox background, so I'm very excited to be showing off for the first time in public the tools that we show on Xbox.
Nice.
On Xbox, we have an SDK program. The tool that we ship there is called Pix. We've been shipping Pix for a number of years. It's an incredibly popular tool. Game developers have been working in the industry for a long time. Pretty much all of them know about Pix. And so I'm very excited to be talking about that. We also are targeting PC and desktop, of course. That's our old mainstay. And we're showing some of the same tools that are very similar to Pix. In fact, we've been sharing a lot of the UI from Pix into those tools over the last year, and we'll be working on that some more. And we're showing those tools for PC and desktop.
Cool.
Those same set of tools, over the next several months, we'll be iterating, and we'll be bringing that same set of functionality to Windows Phone.
Wow.
To even some of the exciting new devices that we announced earlier this year, such as HoloLens, and anything else that Microsoft dreams up in the future. These tools are working today for all of these devices for Direct 3D 11, but here at the show, we're announcing Direct 3D 12, DirectX 12. It's our big, big announcement, one of the great new features of Windows 10. And we're announcing here at the show that all of these tools will have full support for Direct 3D 12 when Windows 10 ships.
Nice. So tell me a little bit about Pix. Is this like an internal tool that...
Oh, no. Absolutely not. Back in the original Xbox days, we realized that game developers actually needed a good debugging and profiling tool. It's pretty critical for any type of graphics or gaming development. And so the team back then created this early conception of a tool that captures all of the graphics commands that flow back and forth from the CPU to the GPU, and then quickly layered on a lot of functionality over the top of that to help you debug common problems, profile cases where the CPU or the GPU are falling behind, try to determine if you're CPU bound or GPU bound, all of these very common things. And the tool evolved until Xbox 360, where we think we kind of hit a high water mark that we've all been building lots of tech since to catch up with, where the tool was fully unified, had CPU functionality, GPU functionality, as well as a lot of tools for profiling your game against the Xbox system. This tool has been out there for the SDK program for developers from the first Xbox through 360, and then we created an entirely new version for Xbox One for all of the developers that have been building great titles for Xbox One.
Excellent. So now some of these tools are making their way into Visual Studio, is that right?
Absolutely. So as the program manager lead for the both of these sides of the fence, for the Windows and the Xbox side, one of my key challenges over the coming years is to be able to leverage as much technology as we can between those two tools.
Got it.
And it's a really hard problem because Pix and the tools that we do on Xbox, we have a fixed hardware platform. And so we design tools that go very deep.
Right.
And we want to give developers the ability to micro-optimize every last pixel down to the nanosecond level. The developers care about 10 nanoseconds difference between two draw calls and the other. And so if developers don't have that kind of control, then they're not able to build the best kind of game for Xbox.
I see.
Whereas on Windows, the full breadth of Windows devices, where we're shipping our tools in Visual Studio, we have a different problem. We want a developer to be able to write a good app that runs well on an AMD part, NVIDIA, Intel, and now as we're scaling out Microsoft devices to Qualcomm, on phones, as well as all of the exciting things around HoloLens that you're hearing about, and then any potential future devices, we want that tool to be able to work robustly across all of those.
That's a much more challenging thing, because it seems like Pix works specifically with
the
hardware, because Xbox is just a carbon copy of the hardware, but now when you move it over to Visual Studio, you got to worry about the NVIDIA graphics cards or some other graphics cards. So how are you solving that problem?
So we're solving it in a couple different ways. The first way that we're solving it is we're looking at, even though there's two different problem sets here, the scenarios and the things that developers need to do are very common between two. And so we're starting at the top level, at the UI, and we're looking at some of the core controls, things like a timeline, the events list, being able to inspect textures. These are very common across the two platforms. And we want to be able to share the controls from PIX with Visual Studio and vice versa. And so the team has been working very hard recently to build sort of a shared controlled infrastructure where we can at least have our UI start to look similarly over time. The second thing that we're doing is we're working very closely with our partners at AMD, Intel, and NVIDIA to surface some of that low-level information, the low-level details about the GPUs that we get on Xbox in a way that we can provide that in the tools.
Right.
So we would love to be able to show, for example, the shader instructions that you have in your shader that actually run on the hardware. We can do something like that on Xbox, but we'd love to be able to have a way, in a common way, that as we're as you're using our tools on Windows, you get that specific GPU instructions from a specific vendor, and that will help you understand how your game is performing there. This is just one of the many examples of things that we're thinking about.
Wow.
And in order to do that, we have to work really closely with our partners.
Got it.
Write a spec, we iterate with them, they come back, provide us the data that we need, and then we build tests around that over time.
I see. So this is an interesting thing. I mean, what are some of the common problems that a game developer will run into that the tooling helps out with?
Right, so, you know, kind of at a high level, we divide things into debugging and profiling.
Okay.
So when you're debugging lots of problems that might be as simple as, why did this particular texture render incorrectly? Or why is my screen gone black? Or if you've worked on a really hard game, you might have something called exploding triangles, where every so often, all of the geometry is skewed across the entire screen. And these can be very pernicious problems to troubleshoot, because they're often intermittent. And if in these types of situations, if you're trying to narrow down, you have to catch that at the time that it happens.
Yeah, it's tough.
And for a game developer, games are very non-deterministic systems. You have a game, the way that somebody plays through a level or walks to a particular problem may impact whether the problem happens or how it materializes.
Right.
And so one of the things that we try to do in our debugging tools is make it very easy to catch the problem. And so we have a number of features like continuous timing capture on Xbox that help you capture these things sort of retroactively, as well as giving you a lot of control once you've caught the problem of iterating on solutions without having to round trip back to the game with the fix.
Interesting. So what does that look like?
It looks a lot like this. So we take a capture of a single frame of your application that records all of the commands that flow from the CPU to the GPU. You walk through these progressively so you can see your scene being built up. And then if you want to go and make changes, today we have something called Shader Edit and Apply. And you go and you walk through your shader and you can make a change to the shader in the context of that capture. And so you, without having to go back to your game, you can rebuild the shader and then replay that capture to see how it impacted that single frame, that single instance in time.
Oh man, that's amazing.
Yeah, and it's really great because there's this double-edged sword of performance and conformance in game development, where I may fix a problem, but now I've made my app a lot slower. Or vice versa, I may have made something faster, but now I've made a rendering problem worse. And so you need to be able to iterate very quickly between those two sides of that coin in order to actually narrow in on the problem. So that's a key philosophy for us in all of our debugging tools, as well as our profiling tools.
So tell us a little bit about profiling and performance. How do you debug that? How do you make performance fixes with the tooling that you guys are building?
Sure, so I talked a little bit about the continuous timing captures. This is a feature we have in PIX. We have a very similar version of this called GPU usage in the Visual Studio Graphics Diagnostics tool for Windows, for all the Windows devices. In PIX, what we do is we collect a low overhead stream of fairly crisp timing data. And this is continuously being captured in a ring buffer. So as I play through the game, as I try to reproduce the problem, I have all of this data.
Right.
And so when that problem happens, if it's an intermittent, say I'm collecting garbage at the wrong time, I can see that spike in either CPU or GPU time, freeze the app, and I already have the data, so I can retroactively go back and zoom in on that. And now I can expand the data in Visual Studio or in PIX and go down to what I call a timing capture, where you can see the correlation of draw calls being made on the CPU with the actual draw on the GPU. Now this tells you a number of things. You might see bubbles on the GPU where the GPU is doing no work. It's a bad thing.
Yeah, of course.
GPU hardware is probably the most important piece of hardware in your system. Of course, I'm biased because I work in graphics.
Yeah.
But if you're not giving that beast of a processor all of the work to do, you're basically throwing all of your performance on the table. So oftentimes what you're looking for is the CPU doing its job of feeding the GPU? And so what this tool can show you, because you're seeing all of these timelines together, problems where the CPU is falling behind and not giving the GPU work in time. GPU is taking too long because it's been given too much work to do, and so it's missing the time. Another very subtle problem that's going to be cropping up in the future is synchronization. With Direct3D 12, we've taken a lot of the training wheels off in terms of the API. In the past, we did a lot of the synchronization in the cache, fixing the cache for the developer.
Got it.
Now in Direct3D 12, we give the developer control, which means they can optimize in their specific game for those conditions.
Got it.
But it means they're now in control.
It could cause some problems.
Yes. With great power comes great responsibility.
Sure.
And so what this timing tool that I'm talking about is, you'll be able to see cases where you failed to do the proper synchronization.
I see.
And then you can go back and add that. Or worse, you've added too much synchronization and the GPU and CPU are getting too much in lockstep. And so that's one of many, many problems that Direct3D 12 brings to the table.
It feels like you're like walking this wire of like CPU to GPU sort of work. It seems pretty complicated.
It's incredibly complicated, but it's incredibly fascinating. And that's why I love working in tools, because it's like playing the most complicated, most timing-sensitive video game. You are constantly working to solve really tough problems in creative ways. And our tools, like a good video game, allow you to progressively walk through this maze of challenges. Yeah. And as a really creative developer, you're able to solve things using the tools that you wouldn't be able to solve otherwise. And then that empowers you to do more creative things with your code.
Right.
Again, it's this really delicate dance of CPU and GPU, and a really good developer will get to a place where they can have these things moving almost seamlessly with exactly the right synchronization. But that takes a lot of work and it takes a lot of good expertise, and that's where tools can help you move that expertise along.
Absolutely. So what are you talking about here? You have a talk coming up.
I'm talking about all of the good things that I'm talking with you about, but in a lot more detail. So myself and two of my colleagues, Rudolf Balaz and Rong Liu, we work together. Rudolf works on my team. Rong works on the Visual Studio team. And we work together to bring these tools into Visual Studio. So today we'll be talking about, in a small detail, about PIX. We'll be talking a lot about Direct3D 11 tools in Visual Studio as they're shipping today in Visual Studio 2015. And then we're going to give you a glimpse of the Direct3D 12 tools, which will be shipping in Visual Studio 2015 very soon.
Okay.
So we're going to kind of walk you through all of those. By the time you're done with the talk, you'll be very fluent in what the tools have to offer. You'll be able to go back to your home or office, download the tools very soon in the future, and then dig in and learn them in a much more detail. I'll be closing out the talk with a little bit of a taste of where we think we're going in the future.
Cool.
And then I'm going to talk a little bit more detail about what I've talked to you about and how we want to share code in PIX and UI in PIX with Visual Studio, so that we have a really great arsenal of tools for game developers.
That's cool. So what are some cool things coming up for DirectX 12 that you can talk about?
Aside from the awesome tools, which I think are hands down the coolest part of DirectX 12, there are going to be a lot of great games. We were working already with a number of games developers, both at Microsoft and outside of Microsoft, and they're doing some amazing things with DirectX 12 that we've never even dreamt of.
Right.
DirectX 12, given the amazing gains that it's going to give you on the CPU and the GPU, is going to give game developers the opportunity to create effects and visuals that they have been wanting to do for several years, but they've been bottlenecked on the hardware not being able to perform.
Got it.
And the more control we give them, and the more we allow them to get closer to hardware, the more they can do the kinds of amazing things they've been wanting to do, and they've been talking about at GDC for years. So on top of that, of course, we'll be demoing Fable Legends, which will be DirectX 12 on the PC. We're incredibly excited about that. It's going to really show off the hardware and show off the API very well. There'll be a lot of other games coming in the future that will be doing just as great as work, and I really am looking forward to playing those at home myself.
So what can you tell us about Windows 10 and gaming? That's pretty exciting.
Oh, there's so many things that are happening on Windows 10. I'm very excited about DirectX 12.
Of course.
Coming to the PC as well as all the Windows devices. We're also announcing today and at the show, Xbox is coming to Windows in a big way. We're going to have the Xbox Live SDK available in the future so that you can target Xbox Live on the PC. In addition, we'll have Xbox, we already have Xbox One controller support. I've seen a few of the games on the show floor that are using that. That's very exciting. In addition, we're going to have an Xbox app that runs and shows a number of things on the console, friends, your feeds, a lot of great data. And in the future, we will have Game DVR for Xbox.
What's Game DVR? I've heard a lot about this.
Ah, yeah, this is an incredibly popular feature. It's been on a few platforms, but we're going to have it connected up to the Xbox Live service in a way that streamlines it like no other service. So on Xbox, we have Game DVR. It's basically a recording of your game that's always running in the background.
Got it.
And let's say you're playing your favorite game like Sunset Overdrive and you do this incredible move. You can pause and go back and take that recording of what just happened, share it with your friends, comment on it. Your friends can then go and try to do that awesome move or earn that achievement. And yeah, it just really adds a whole level of depth to games that hasn't been there before. There are some of these services out there on Windows today, but we believe the way we integrate this with Windows 10 is gonna make it just seamless and a great experience for any developer, for any gamer to use.
Well, cool. Any last parting words of advice?
It's a great show. It's going to be hard for me to see all of the great sites, so I want to get out there. And you know, if you haven't checked out the booth, if folks out there haven't had a chance to listen to some of the talks, we'll have recaps and we'll have all the talks online, hopefully soon in the future. And so all of this stuff you'll be able to experience from outside the show.
Definitely. Check out his talk. We're going to put it up at Channel 9. Again, thanks for watching, and we'll see you next time.
Thanks. Yeah.